Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I'm your host for The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share advice for techies, for earth lovers, and for penny pinchers. As much as I love the sound of my own voice, this broadcast is going to rely heavily on guests who are subject matter experts on everything, ranging from how to get your small business up and running, interviews with some of the brains behind your favorite apps, and even how to remove garbage from outer space. You never know who's going to pop up and join me next in studio, so make sure to subscribe to The Town Hall on iTunes to get our episodes downloaded directly. And if your boss is making you work through lunch or your commute is just too short and you miss something awesome, don't worry, we've got your back. You can check out our blog for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everybody, and welcome to a very, I'm going to say, trendy episode of The Town Hall. And why is it going to be trendy? Well, because my guest today is Dustin Jeffers. He's the head of operations for Saltwater Brewery, and he and his team are pairing up sustainability and craft beer just as expertly as they pair their wide range of flavors. And I'm really excited to be joined via Skype by a true brewmaster. So Dustin, thank you so much for being here this early morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So summer's beginning, obviously, to die down, and we're transitioning to the end of the year. But, you know, the beauty of beer is that it's a year-round kind of thing. Did you know that September 28th is National Drink a Beer Day?
I did. 27th is Crush a Can Day. So we're doing a little Instagram competition on whoever can crush cans and recycle and all that can win a free case at the brewery.
Oh, I love that. In that spirit, let's get started. Let's talk, obviously, a lot about beer, a lot about sustainability, and a lot about you. So let's take it from the top and let's get to know each other just a little bit better. Dustin, walk me through your professional and personal timeline. And I mean, how did you get to brewing beer with, you know, a purpose?
Yeah, so I'm originally from South Jersey. I moved to South Florida around 7 years ago. So in South Jersey, it's really close to Philadelphia, which is one of the beer capitals of the world. We have awesome beer bars. A lot of breweries distribute there because there's such a good beer culture. So from a young age, instead of drinking like Bud Light, all that stuff, I got into craft beer earlier. Probably than most people. Also, one of my uncles homebrewed. All the uncles were really into craft beer, and a couple of the cousins homebrewed. So I started homebrewing. So during undergrad, I went to the University of Connecticut, and my senior year, I lived right down the street from the brew pub up there, Willimantic Brew Pub. So got into craft beer even more, got my roommate into it. He's actually now opening up a brewery in Connecticut. Both of us now have breweries. So I went to undergrad for speech and language pathology and audiology. So nothing that had to do with beer. I moved down to South Florida around 7 years ago for grad school for speech pathology. And my cousin had an art studio and we were homebrewing in the art studio. And Lee, who owns the barn that the brewery's in, came in for him to do a big for lease sign on the side of the brewery. Because they were leasing out the building. It used to be an antique furniture store. Lee and his family already kind of started talking about doing something interesting in the barn. And his son, Chris, who's our president, he was in San Diego right during the big boom of craft breweries out there. So it all kind of fell into place at the right time. Chris wrote up a business plan, moved back to South Florida. I graduated. So I do have my master's, but didn't really do anything with speech. I started as assistant brewer here. Pete did all our artwork. Their friend, Bo, he worked for a beer distributor. So he had the whole distribution aspect and he started. We got a brewmaster that had his own brewery for, I think, 16 years. And we started a brewery. Everyone kind of dropped everything and started it up. And that was almost 5 years ago now. In December, we have our 5-year anniversary.
That's incredible. And before we tackle, you know, all of the awesome strides that you guys are making, you know, also in the fight for ocean conservation, I do want to stay in the same lane. And I still want to talk a little bit about beer because I've always been super curious. And there's such a large surge of, you know, craft breweries popping up all over the country. So like, coming up with a recipe, coming up with a flavor name, can and bottle design, how do you guys like embrace the creative process around craft beer? Because it really is like a true A to Z art form.
Yeah. So when we were discussing the brewery, most of the guys are like second, third generation Floridians. So they grew up by the ocean. Me being in South Jersey, we had a house in Sea Isle, used to go to LBI all the time. So I also grew up by the ocean, loved boats, fishing. They were all surfers. So coming up with the brewery, we were also very all passionate about the ocean. And because we did spend time at the beach, on boats, surfing, fishing, we saw the problem with kind of the destruction that was happening to the ocean. So calling also saltwater was kind of the basis to the whole entire business, which then led to our beer names and what we wanted to do. So we wanted to do something to give back to the ocean and a good way to kind of spread the message, help with charities, plus just educate is we thought would be through beer. So when you give people beer, they're more likely to listen to you or come to an event if they're going to get beer out of it. So that was kind of the whole concept of the business. Work with charities, work with organizations, try to educate people on the ocean and pull them into our education and charities via beer. So all our beer names, all the artwork has to deal with the ocean. So our number one brand is Screamin' Reels IPA. So Pete did a painting of a mahi hitting a lure. We came up with the beer name and the painting turned into the can design, turned into the t-shirts that correspond to the beer, turned into the tackers, advertising, all that stuff. So it kind of starts with a ocean themed beer name, goes to a painting, and then goes to everything else.
What's your favorite flavor?
My favorite beer, I love barley wines. There's a whole movement that barley wine is like in the craft beer world. That's kind of like my beer style I started with. They're like big, boozy, high alcohol beers that are more on the malty side. And we finally made one here. It's called Maris the Lost Sea Otter. So Maris Otter is the base grain, and sticking with the whole ocean theme, it's a English grain. So Lost Sea Otter, the otter ended up in South Florida. So that's my favorite. But our core beer, we're about to come out with our third core beer called Passion Pit. It's a light golden ale, 4.2% that we ferment with real passion fruit. So I've been drinking a lot of that lately. You can drink a couple and it's only 4.2%. So it won't hurt you too bad.
I think our listeners are probably wondering, you know, what Saltwater Brewery and Rubicon, you know, really have in common. And our connection is obviously made through the shared passion of environmental sustainability. And you guys at Saltwater, much like at Rubicon, are implementing a pretty innovative solution to help with, you know, the fight against ocean pollution. So walk me through the marquee thing for you guys, the Eco Six Pack Ring, the thing that picked up all the press, all the stuff that's led to the community outreach. A lot of it is around the Eco Six Pack Ring. So what does that mean?
Yeah, so that we got to that point by our sticking to our mission statement. So working with the charities, we started off working with CCA, Surf Rider, and Ocean Foundation. And if they had events, we would donate beer. First and third Thursday of every month at the brewery, we have charity night. So we'll do raffles, and then proceeds of one of the taps goes to the charity. So as we were doing those, kind of more charities and organizations reached out to us, and our kind of reach spread further and further. And we started getting more notoriety as we're the brewery that helps with ocean charities. And if someone has any idea about that too, we can help out as much as we can. So we partnered with another agency called We Believers and co-designed the biodegradable six-pack ring. So early on in the brewery, we decided that we wanted to package in cans. Since we are in South Florida and with our brand, we sponsor fishing tournaments. We do beach cleanups. There's a lot of pools out here. We also do fish, so our beer's on boats. So glass bottles wasn't the best option for us. So we wanted to use aluminum. So wherever we were, we didn't have to worry about broken glass. The main issue with cans is unless you're doing a cardboard like 12-pack, 15-pack box, mostly every can was packaged in plastic. So when we first started, we used PackTech, which is a great company. They do 98% recycled plastic as their packaging. That was the best thing we had out there at that time. With this co-development of the six-pack ring, we needed something fibrous to hold together the beers. So every time we brew, we have hundreds of pounds of spent grain that's left over. Right now, we send all that grain to cows as feed. So a farmer comes, picks it up, pushes it out, and the cows eat it up. They love it. It's kind of like a great snack for them. So grain is fibrous. So we use the spent grain, and that's the basis of the biodegradable six-pack grain. So it's all the spent grain from the brewing process reused for a six-pack holder.
So what would happen to the ring when it would inevitably end up in the ocean? It would biodegrade and dissolve, or, you know, the fish and turtles can feed on it?
We don't want people to just throw these in the ocean and throw it on the ground. Like, you can throw them out as normal and they would biodegrade because it's all made out of spent grain. So stuff will eat it down. Like, all the little microorganisms will break it down and it will be used as food. If it does end up in the ocean, after about 90 to 120 days, it's going to be fully dissolved into tiny little grain particles. If something eats it before then, it's not going to harm them. We kind of like saying it's like giving your kids Sour Patch Kids instead of Legos. It's not necessarily healthy or nutritious for whatever's eating it, but it also isn't harmful to them. It's spent grain. There's not a lot of sugar left in it because most of that we're pulling during the brewing process. A lot of the proteins we pull out. So it's kind of just like really bland oatmeal. Yeah. So it's not harmful. It's
doesn't
not nutritious,
sound very flavorful, though.
Yeah. We don't want it to be like, we don't think people are going to go out of their way to try to eat these things. Like, they don't taste great, but there's no plastic. We're 100% plastic free as of July. And it's a much better alternative. It also holds up. We did a lot of testing with this. So I think it's been about 2 years since that first viral video came out. And then,
those that didn't see the video, will you explain it a little bit?
Yeah. So the video was probably the most visualized, like the scene that everyone brings up is the turtle going and eating the ring, which was real. That wasn't photoshopped. Took a bite out of it, wasn't harmed. So the video was released on Facebook. We just kind of put it out there because we thought it was cool. Wanted to show people what we were trying to work on. And it kind of blew up on us. We had millions of phone calls. I think it was something like 5 million views in the first day or first 2 days. Right now, we just got new numbers in. I think it's 28.3 billion global impressions since that video has been released. It was crazy. We thought people thought it would be cool, and that was about it. And it definitely raised more awareness than we thought, and we're really happy about it. But if you Google saltwater six-pack ring, it's the first thing that pops up. You can go check out the video.
I would be remiss as a representative of, you know, Rubicon if I didn't take the opportunity to ask you about some waste prevention and conservation efforts in the community. How do you guys educate the community about what you're doing in the realm of conservation, recycling, all that? How do you get the word out?
Yeah, so it's really with event-based. So we don't spend a lot of money on marketing, which a lot of breweries would do, advertisements, stuff like that. All that money that we would use for that goes to events and charities and organizations. So the first and third Thursday night at the brewery is one way. We'll have different organizations come in. They can talk to people about what they're working on, educate them on different environmental issues. We try to go out to events. So any event that is offsite will donate beer to the charities and they can raise money that way. It also brings more people in if they hear like, oh, if I go to this talk, there's a free beer in it for me. It kind of draws people in. They're drinking a beer and then they learn something as well. Different beach cleanups. We try to support anyone doing a beach cleanup. We'll advertise it on our Facebook, Instagram. We'll go help out as much as we can do. Doing talks since the six-pack ring has blown up, we've got invited to do talk at different occasions and just kind of spreading the word that when this came out, we were a small brewery. We were about 2,000, 3,000 barrels. So a small company like us can try to innovate something and it made a big impact than really anyone can. It's really about sticking to the values of your company and what you set out to do.
I think also you guys are located in Delray Beach and that's a community that's embracing sustainability and is kind of leading the charge and a lot of the beach stuff as well. But if your beer isn't available in someone's area, you know, what do you think through your experience and through some of the education, what's something that someone can do locally and easily to, you know, hop on board and fight the good fight to help preserve our ocean?
Yeah, I think one of the things is try to do something small at first. So my wife and I, we have gone on the bandwagon of no plastic bags. So we have a bunch of those reusable tote bags. So going to a grocery store, we have some in our car, some in both of our cars, and then some in the house in case we forget some. We always have backups. And we started with that. And is us not accepting plastic bags anymore going to cure everything? Of course not, but it's a start. And when you do something like that, it's pretty like noticeable. When I'm at the grocery store and we're using the bags, like the cashier sees it, the bagger sees it, the person in back of the line sees it. And if you get one of those guys to hop on board and do the same thing, then that kind of spreads it out. And then maybe when they use it, they'll get one person to do it. And it's a small, easy thing. If you go to CVS and you have to get medicine and it's one little bottle, like tell them you don't need a plastic bag. You can carry that yourself. If you go to get a drink somewhere, like don't put it in a plastic bag or use the reusable bags. So starting off small, we started since then. We now have we're trying to not use any plastic straws. When we go out, we ask for no straw. We have the reusable straws, like they're in her purse, they're in my car. So yeah, start small and then add something. Once you have one thing kind of going on and it's part of your routine, add something else to it. And then if you get a plastic straw, like don't freak out on the server. Like it's not going to be the end of the world, but kind of educate them. Say like, oh, I didn't want a plastic straw. And then your next refill, she won't bring the straw or he won't bring the straw. So start small. Do what you can. Don't freak out if you forget your reusable bag at the grocery store. Like, kind of make it just part of your life. And as you keep doing more and more things, yeah, it will help out. And you'll notice other things in your life. Like, when I buy apples now, I don't use those plastic bags to put all the fruit in. I just put the apples into my cart and then put them in the reusable bag and then bring them home. So that's another plastic I'm trying to get out. So yeah, one by one. Just notice more things. And as you're getting more and more plastic out, you'll notice more things. Using metal bottles instead of plastic bottles. You also save yourself a lot of money on buying cases of plastic bottles if you have a reusable metal one that you bring everywhere.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I was listening to you and you can kind of equate it to like a weight loss journey. You know, these small changes will obviously lead to big results. So I know we had a record early this morning because you're going somewhere pretty cool today, right? Aren't you? Isn't there a festival?
This weekend, yes. We have a couple of festivals. So I just came from Key West Beer Fest during that week. It was like Thursday through Saturday. So being down the Keys, there are a lot of places that are starting to jump on the plastic bandwagon or the plastic banning. So Stone Crab is one of our great accounts. They're now plastic straw free. So they've moved to paper straws, metal stirrers. If you do to-go bags, they have like the plant-based bags. And a bunch more accounts are starting to do that down the Keys. I mean, they're on islands, so they're surrounded by water. So it's cool seeing that. That was 2 weeks ago. Last weekend, Beer Fest in Orlando. And even though Orlando's in the middle of the state, there's a couple of restaurants that are kind of doing that same thing, banning plastic bags, because all the drains, the water ends up in the ocean eventually. So just because that giant plastic bag may not be there, if that's broken down and then there's all those microplastic, that will eventually lead to the ocean. And they're almost even harder to get rid of than a giant plastic water bottle or plastic bag.
100%. So before I let you go and I let you get back to brewing, I wanted to play a quick little game with you. I wanted to ask you a couple questions. You know, I think it's really cool after we tell a sustainability story to kind of focus more on you and get to know you better. And so I'm going to ask you 10 really random, kind of weird questions. Just hit me with the first thing that comes to mind. Okay? Okay. You ready?
Yep. All good.
So if you're not drinking beer, what's in your cup?
Alcohol-wise, it's usually rum. I'm pretty sure I used to be a pirate, which is even more the reason I'm into this whole ocean conservation thing. And if it's not a rum drink, then it's actually water. I drink a lot of water. I'm from South Jersey, so I say water, like a Philadelphian.
You sound like my cousins from Jersey. What was your very first concert?
My first concert was Chicago and Hall & Oates.
It's a good concert.
Used to be Tweeter Center, Camden. So Hall & Oates right outside of Philly is always awesome. So that's where they're from.
If you could be any sea creature, what would you be and why?
Probably a sea turtle. I think they're awesome. We have Gumbo Limbo Nature Center right down the road in Boca. I bring my son there, try to once a week, and they rehabilitate giant sea turtles. I just think they're very cool. They're relaxed. They live a very long life. And only, I think is the last number is 1 in 1,000 live to adulthood just because of like the mission, like the journey they have to go through. When they hatch, they have to go out into the sea, swim a couple of 3 or 4 miles offshore, get onto the seaweed patch, and then they chill there for 2 or 3 years and hopefully don't get eaten by a fish. And then they just kind of coast along the rest of their lives. I think they're pretty cool. Or a shark, just so nothing messes with you.
Probably Who's turtle the first. Last person that you texted?
My wife.
What song is on repeat for you right now?
Probably a Buffett song. As corny as it sounds, I definitely fit into that whole parrot head, beachy music.
Oh, yeah, you really like Sublime, drank the Jack South Johnson. Florida Kool-Aid.
Yeah, all that stuff. I've been a parrot head since before I even moved down here. I think I've been to 12 Buffett concerts and still have never been inside one, just partied on the outside and listened to the music.
When you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I want to be a teacher. So kind of stuck with that. And that's why I did my master's in speech pathology. I wanted to be a speech therapist in schools. Yeah, teacher.
If you were to name a beer after your life, what would you call it?
Oh, that's a good one. I would call it the... I don't know. That's a really good question.
I think Parrothead's a good one.
Yeah, Parrothead's not too bad. Beach Lover, Parrothead. I like Parrothead. That's a good beer name.
I should come work for you.
Yeah, totally.
What is a must order at your favorite food truck? And I ask you this because I know you guys partner with them a whole bunch.
Yes. Yeah, we can't have food where we're at, zoning-wise. We can just do manufacturing. So we have food trucks here every night. And one of the food trucks has this kind of a arepa sort of thing that's avocado, shredded chicken, mayo. It's kind of like a chicken salad in this like baked tortilla. It's awesome. So I get it every time.
What is one thing on your bucket list?
Go to Belgium and do all the kind of Trappist breweries out there and Lambic breweries and just do a full-on Belgium beer trip.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
So success to me is being comfortable providing for your family so they don't have to worry too much and kind of leaving the world better than where you left. Especially, I'm definitely in that mood now. My son's 1.5 years, and then we just announced that my wife and I are pregnant again.
Congratulations.
So with another baby boy. So very family-oriented right now and kind of leaving everything better for my kids. And we're trying to do that with environmental reasons. And then, yeah, just being comfortable, not having to let them worry about stuff. I think that's, you don't need the big mansion or anything, just comfortable life.
I 100% agree. Before we end, what is next for Saltwater? You know, how do you guys see yourselves continuing to reach and exceed the goal of, you know, I think it's on your website, maintaining the world's greatest wonder is the mission. And where can everybody find you, find more information? Let's plug Saltwater and some of the cool stuff you guys have going on.
Yeah, we're working on a couple things. So we just got a brand new tank for outside. We've built as much as we can inside the barn, and we've reached our capacity of how much beer we can produce here. So we're adding more fermentation tanks outside. First one got installed last week, fully ready. We're going to test it out next week. And we're going to add some more. So we'll hopefully increase our production by about 153%. So with that, we can spread our beer more places, try to help out more areas with events and organizations and different charities. So that's the first thing we're doing. The second is hopefully by January this year, we'll come out with Passion Pit in cans for distribution. And with the extra tank space, we'll be able to finally add another beer. We're kind of on a really great upslope of production. So we can produce a lot more beer. Last year, 92% of our production was our IPA. So it took away from some other more fun beers we could have produced. So yeah, new tanks, more beers. We're going to start working with restaurants and bars in different areas and try to really push this plastic straw ban, try to get them to use different biodegradable boxes for to-go. Instead of doing to-go bags, do the plant-based bags. So I have a couple ideas, a couple organizations we're going to work with, and kind of more restaurant managers in with like a free pint of beer and have kind of like mini trade shows of different vendors they can buy stuff from that would be a plastic alternative. So that's one of my goals for next year, is try to get those going in our hometown first, and then different areas we distribute to, partnering with a restaurant and then also a charity, and get those going. And possibly a second location in the future. We're working on that right now, that we could have a fun little pilot system, do some more experimental beers on.
That's amazing. You guys have so much going on right now, and it's all tied back to, you know, the mission, just like ours, to end waste, to save the ocean, and like you said, to leave the planet just a little bit better than when you got here. Dustin, thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Yeah, that was great having
you. Awesome. Cheers.
Are you a brick and mortar small business owner and want to win $10,000? We're on the hunt to find the best small business in America. We're looking for a mom and pop shop that balances a presence in their community while using their business as a force for social or environmental good. Entries close on October 19th, and the winner will be announced on Small Business Saturday, November 24th. Enter now by telling us why your small business deserves a shot at the cash at RubiconGlobal.com/2018best.